It's time for Notre Dame's Best Hockey Show. From the WVFI studios in the second floor of the Duncan Student Center, it's 5 for Fighting Irish. Now, here's your hosts, Andrew McGinnis, Ryan Murphy, and Tyler Reedy. Let's drop the puck.
It's the only hockey show.
Yeah. That's what I say every time, like, my mom is like, you're my favorite son.
Yes,
I'm
exactly.
Like, I'm your only son.
It's such a great response.
I'm like, is there something I need to know?
Yeah. That's funny, Andrew.
Props to you, Giants. That was excellently done.
There's only one Jake Irons, and he killed that thing.
Yeah,
that
was absolutely beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate it. And don't worry, you got me for the full hour.
Let's go.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, we actually got a special way to start the show. I know Ryan and Jake know this, but I am taking over the ND Admissions Instagram today.
Oh.
So we have a significantly bigger audience to promote this show to. I'm going to try to take a picture with, like, all of us in it. I don't know if it's going to really work.
Show off the beautiful WVFI studio.
Absolutely.
And the double glass that you get your producer behind, too. Like, it actually does something.
You guys are going to have to move in.
This is going quite well.
Just move to your right or left.
Reedy, you got to have to get out of the chair. You got to get out of the chair.
Reedy's fine. All right, we're back.
I will not.
Someone
talks
just, like
I'm just
in
creeping
this.
In the back of that photo. Like, I'm creeping.
You look great.
Hey, way to go, buddy.
Can't wait. Check that out, everybody.
Check that out. Go give it a follow if you haven't.
Yeah,
I'll introduce myself to all of our ND admissions.
I need to type a caption.
Well, the funnier
ND
thing,
ND admissions Instagram. I'm going to introduce them. I'm the creepy one in the back.
Well, the funnier thing today, Andrew puts me on because we have play by play together. I gained 15 followers on Instagram.
Come on. Let's go.
In I like, had you?
I've yes. gained none.
Are you serious?
You gained none?
No.
I gained like 15.
You know what it is, folks?
It's the red hair.
It's the red hair.
It's
they're
the
like,
Notre
he's
Dame.
The leprechaun.
Yes. That's it. That's it right there.
I hope that's not the reason why they're following.
Like, I found him. The quintessential Notre Dame student. He's actually a leprechaun.
He's the leprechaun. He's everywhere.
One tag.
Hey, it goes back to the one time I did something for admissions. And both panelists wore redheads.
Yes.
And someone asked us as we were sitting on this panel, do you have to be redheaded to go to Notre Dame? And in that exact moment,
incredible. No, but it helps.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought that was going to be the first question.
I am wearing a wig. You can't see it because
it's
radio.
St. Patty's coming up. This is the other thing. People always ask me if the hair is for the holiday. It never is.
They ask, do they legitimately ask you that?
Yes.
Why would you? I'm sorry.
Here, it's never been an issue because, like, it's Notre Dame, of course.
Did you see the TikTok last year?
The running of the
gingers.
Oh,
yeah.
You know how many times I got that sent to me by friends?
So I know that. You know Matt Thorne made that.
Really?
Name drop Matt Thorne. Matt Thorne, if you're listening, hockey fan, resident hockey fan. Matt
Why
Thorne.
Why would you? You
he
have
made
a great.
That.
We have a great hockey fan base right on this campus right now.
We do. I feel like. Yeah, this is it. No, I'm kidding.
I'm still writing this caption.
We definitely care. I wouldn't say more than the average hockey fan, but we.
Dude, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this? Oh, yeah.
Maybe more than average, I think, is the correct answer.
Yeah. So, you know, in December, you drive two and a half hours to Michigan State. You watch Notre Dame get swept. So, you know, 2 months later, you think about your actions. You ponder the decisions you've made, and you try and apply them to the future. So what do? You drive 3.5 hours to Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Yeah. I don't know. If they play like they did Saturday, they get swept again. But let's hope that's not the case.
But if they play like they did on Friday,
then they'll win on Friday and lose on Saturday because that's what they've done all year.
Well, I think there's a lot to talk about right now.
Yeah, there is.
I think we're gonna. Andrew's still writing his caption, but I think that's a very natural.
I'm just sizing it.
I think it's a very natural segue to where we're going to go because I speak for myself, but I have a feeling. Go ahead.
The post is out. Get ready to learn triple digit followers, pal.
Let's go.
Follow and subscribe.
Yeah, wait. Why? See, but Mama's now, Jake. We can't see the number of viewers there on the screen.
Don't worry. If you would like me,
Roger Goodell.
If you would like me to change it, I can go and change it real quick.
I mean, I'm kind of curious. To all right, see let if me go change it.
I'll be back.
Because they do have 20,000 followers. Hmm. Oh, you have to like go somewhere. All right. Well,
student takeover Monday.
Yeah, let's do it. Woot, woot.
Oh, let's go. Content from McGinnis.
I tried to do it. Well, I only have one class today.
Impressive. So. Yeah. Wow.
And I did interview the Bengalbouts captain earlier today, so that was just like a cool thing that randomly happened to fall on this.
Oh, yeah. We're creeping in the back of that shot, Tyler. We're creeping back there.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hello, all you ND admissions followers.
All right. So, obviously, the big story in the hockey world.
Yeah.
Across the board, really, is what happened in South Bend this past weekend. Toronto.
The biggest story is always what happens
trades,
in South Bend.
No. I want Cole Knubel. Dang it. Did have a nice goal on Friday. Notre Dame hockey, of course, getting the split against number 8, Michigan State. Notre Dame winning the first game 4-1, losing the second one. I don't even know what the final score was. It was 3-0 after the end of the second
4-0.
Period. Yeah. I did not watch the third. The main takeaway from this show, or from the weekend, should be that Notre Dame hockey was 1-0 when Ryan Murphy and I were on the call, and 0-1 when we were not. I don't know who called Saturday's game, but do better.
Caesar.
Only our sports director.
Gents, your thoughts on the weekend?
Let's talk about it.
Does Jacob Irons have a comment first?
I want to stay before we get into the actual hockey talk. I want to say Andrew McGinnis, Ryan Murphy, I had the pleasure of listening to them all weekend, on the Friday, because I was prepping for the Mayo. It is a fabulous listen. You want to talk about guys that continue
to... He's gassing us up.
No, it honestly is truth, because like...
Tyler's the same. He fits into the mix.
Hockey is so tough to do on radio and to do play-by-play. I thought both of you guys were spectacular. You've brought each other in very well. It was a great broadcast. You guys got to give it a listen.
Thank you. Appreciate the shout-out. I think we were blessed with the fact that we had the good game. I'm sure it would have felt like a good game if I was a Michigan State fan on Saturday night.
The MSU fans that were there, they let everyone know about it.
They let everyone know
that they felt good. Yeah.
I speak for myself only, and I have a feeling you might feel the same way, Tyler, but I don't really have an incredibly in-depth analysis other than to be, you know, really disappointed, as I'm sure everyone else is, based on the last two periods of Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, Friday was great. I mean, you want to see them have a game like that against a top 10 team and a team that's had their number, as we documented over on Shamrock Sports on Friday, a team that's had their number over the past year. But Saturday was just, it was just aggravating, because it's your fourth chance this year to follow up a top 15 Friday night win with something other than a loss. I mean, and three of those losses now are by multiple goals. It's just a weird feeling to walk away from a weekend with when you get 3 points in a series that you'll gladly take 3 points from.
Yeah.
You just know there should be more somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're leaving a lot on the table on these Saturdays when you don't follow up the 4-1 win with a very productive effort.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting to me, and I don't know if you both feel the same way, but like what they did against Penn State and also Friday against Michigan State was they responded fairly quickly, or they played with the lead, right? Like they played with the lead for the majority of Friday night. When they didn't have the lead, they weren't losing for long, you know? And it felt like Saturday when they went down 1-0, and they continued to play well. They had the 5-on-3 after. They had the 5-on-3 before, I think, they went down 1-0. But it wasn't like they were like absent for the last 3.5 minutes of that period after Dorwart put Michigan State on the board. But they didn't respond quick enough, and then obviously they didn't come out in the second period with any jump, and it just it dropped off. Like it went from bad to worse, you know. And it's just it's an interesting effect that seems to be developing, where like if they don't respond instantaneously, things get more concerning as time goes on.
That second period on Saturday was not an easy watch. Just a lot of missed passes. The connection and the flow wasn't there in the way it needed to be.
Notre Dame outshot 19-8 in that period. Yeah.
There it is. Two goals.
Yeah.
The one at the buzzer was obviously brutal from Bovshinov.
Yeah.
who looked fantastic, by the way. I was reading about a mock draft for an article I'm writing for the Hockey Writers, and I saw that he was projected to go number two overall behind
I
don't know if that's a bit high, but he's top 10
thinking
for sure,
back
and
to
probably top five.
To you know, Fantilli, watching him here last year, like, I can understand that assessment. I thought he, and we've seen all four games he's played against Notre Dame in person, and I felt like he had taken a step even from December. Like, I had noticed him much more over the weekend.
I did too.
Like, I just thought he was playing with more poise, more assertiveness. You know, there was one time when I think it was the game on Saturday when he jumped up in the rush and he didn't end up getting the pass, but he took like three strides and was from the defensive zone to the offensive zone faceoff circle. I was like, whoa.
One thing I really liked about him is he had a bad turnover on Friday night that led to a 3-on-1, basically for Notre Dame.
Yes.
But he didn't let that faze him. He kept playing his game. He wasn't afraid to try stuff as the game progressed. He didn't let that mistake rattle him, and I thought that showed a lot of composure and poise from a young player, because you want someone like him to be making those high-risk plays, but the understanding that sometimes it's going to be a turnover, it's going to lead to chances. It didn't lead to a goal in that particular instance, so it certainly could have. But you want players like that to have confidence and to keep trying those things, because on the aggregate, they're going to come out on top. And so I liked what I saw from him on Friday, and obviously he gets the goal on the power play on Saturday. I said Notre Dame's power play coming into the series was going to be key for them, and they were coming off probably their best power play game of the season. 3 goals in the last game against Penn State. They followed that up with a total donut, 0-for-8 on the power play. Even more concerning, only 9 shots total.
Tyler has a look of visceral pain on his face in the studio right now. No one out there
can
see it.
You heard the noise. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Murph, it was an observation that you and I kind of made in East Lansing watching Michigan State kill penalties. I think Notre Dame was 1-for-8 in that series. They just put so much more pressure on you up top near that blue line. Even after you're in the zone, like, I'd have to watch them back. I don't think zone entries was the biggest issue over the weekend. I think it was probably maybe a little bit below average, but the thing that MSU does to you that Notre Dame now in 16 tries hasn't really gotten over this year is that they're just so active up top, and the moment you let a puck slip a little bit out of your reach or fan on a pass, like, they're on you. There's such little margin for error up there. That's a risky run if you're Michigan State, but they do it so well, and it for some reason has matched up so well with Notre Dame that they can get away with putting that pressure up there. And we saw the one time Notre Dame did break that down. You had Hunter Strand at the series at MSU stand in the bumper position, and he's wide open at the top of the circles because the forwards are so high up. But when you can't break through and break that down, and you're stuck on the points along the walls like Notre Dame was over this weekend, that's where you go over.
And I mean, Notre Dame likes to run their power play through the points. Like, they like to get Bavaro active.
Yeah.
Nine shots for Bavaro.
I was
going to
say,
Saturday,
he was very active.
I'm sorry to jump in there, but I was looking at the box score, and that number
9
jumped out to 9.
Oh, which, you know, you can maybe take issue with
the rest of the team had 21.
But he certainly was active, but I would, you know, venture to say that the volume with which he had those shots on Saturday night might not have been because those were great looks, but because he had no other options. Because, like you said, like, when you have that kind of fronting up above the circles by Michigan State, Notre Dame struggled to make quick puck decisions, right? And I feel like against Penn State, when they were at their best, the power play would generally start with movement up top that would be slow, and then they'd sort of break things down, right? Moving the puck east-west. They just you can't start that way on a power play against Michigan State. So that was a big – it just was such an energy suck for them.
Yeah. That first power play on Friday, I think, set the tone for the whole series,
it did.
Basically. The one right at the very start of the game from the warm-up.
Even if you're not going to score – you don't want it to be a negative. And I think that's, like, a power play can be a negative, you know?
Absolutely.
Just like you can have a really good penalty kill and have it be a positive. And the Michigan State penalty kill was a big positive for them this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Michigan State special teams have been fantastic all season long. They're also a great 5-on-5 team. That's why they're top 2 in the Big Ten, making a serious run at that number 1 spot as well, too.
They still have that top spot, right?
Or do they? Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had them in Wisconsin.
They started
up
five and you get three.
Tyler would know. I don't look at the conference stats as much as the national stats.
Yeah. I think they've still got a pretty firm grasp on it. Wisconsin didn't do much this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know we were talking about some of the national scores on Friday. There were a lot of upsets that almost happened. None of them really came around.
Yeah.
And any main takeaways from the college hockey landscape? Anything I should know from my student media ballot?
I mean that the Big Ten still. I mean, there's a lot of results that, you know, Notre Dame could have used Ohio State to maybe have a better weekend than they did, and they didn't. But that's nothing really new. I don't know how much you've seen this, Tyler, but I saw a tweet today about the Minnesota-Wisconsin series that they had some disallowed goals that were rather controversial. It was from Jess Myers, but I didn't watch anything other than the goals of those series. I mean, obviously, while those games were going on, we were at Compton, right?
Yeah.
But that would be, I'll have to figure out what the story behind that is. But I feel like it was a pretty straightforward weekend by all accounts.
Yeah. Your beloved Black Bears at a loss, but they jumped right back on UMass.
I mean, ironically, like they lost to Northeastern, who's lower in the rankings than UMass, and then they grinded one out at Amherst. Colorado College had a good weekend. I think Western Michigan split with Denver.
Well, they smoked Denver in Magnus 7-2 on Saturday.
Which is probably the most important, I mean, if you're looking at the NCHC, like, most important split of the weekend around the country besides maybe the one we had here, right?
Yeah, I would. Well, I mean, those are two top 15 teams.
Right.
And, I mean, two that I think, I mean, I still don't really know what either of those teams are. I mean, I feel like Western Michigan still hasn't really played enough great teams to really get a great estimate of who they are yet. And Denver's just been so all over the place this year with their results. I mean, those are the two teams where I'm still just like, give me some more time, you know?
Western's been that way the last couple of years since they had that first season they burst onto the scene. It just like they hung around, they've got into the tournament, and you're like, what's this going to be? And it ends up in a first or second round loss, it felt like. So the debate, we've turned the calendar. It's February. It's now kind of like we wait for the next week or two, and then we get on our like pins and string and our big tack board, and we start to like go to work. All right.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's coming.
Which is exciting.
Yes.
Or, I mean, if you talk to some of the people who hate the, you know, neutral site regionals, maybe less than exciting. I don't know.
Anything more college hockey you wanted to go to? Or do we want to do a more NHL-heavy show? Because I know we kind of ran out of time with that stuff last week. Yeah.
There's a lot of news in the NHL, too.
Yeah, for sure. And we've got our other legal analyst, JJ Poach, monitoring things in the control room with Jake.
Hey, he came on from your Instagram, so like that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say,
we got
one.
Yeah,
I didn't come on because of Instagram. I was just walking to this the media center and like, hey, they've got a radio show. Let me come in here. But if it works, it works.
Come on, you know, he could have at least pretended
sell it,
as
man.
Much. Come on.
I put a tweet up.
He did put a tweet up, so he is promo.
The Observer's Christina Sayet just walked by.
Student media.
And just mere moments after I
five
to
current listeners here, production people.
Hey.
Five current listeners.
No.
That's
such a poor ratio.
We're peaking at 34.
Okay, who's going to give us more people? My ND admissions post to 20,000 people or JJ's Be Real to like 18?
JJ's Be Real.
JJ's Be Real.
JJ's Be Real.
I'm sorry to berate you, ND admissions.
Know your clientele.
It's who it's going to.
It's who it's going to, and it's the sickos like us that sit here and talk about hockey on a Monday night
at
6 o'clock.
You think a cold weather school would have a bigger hockey audience? I'm just saying.
I've learned that student media is like magnets. If like there's a microphone and like people talking, actually not even if there's a microphone, it's just a couple people talking about sports. It's like let's descend. They're in there. They're talking about sports. Let's go.
JJ has a mic in his face now.
Everyone knows you get linked telekinesis the moment you walk through the basement door in SDH. All right, but are we moving on now? Are we going to Puck-toku?
I think for Tyler and I's sanity. Perhaps.
Yeah. Can I bring up one thing on the weekend?
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear what your thoughts about on the fact that, once again, it's splitting of a series. And, like, how do you get over the hump? Because I just think...
Official statement, screams.
Because, like, I just don't under... Because it was the same issue last year. It's the reverse issue this year of now we're not... We're winning Friday instead of Saturday. So how, as a coaching staff, would you, in this situation, tell your team, how do you guys find a way to win a series against big teams that you showed you outplayed them on Friday? Because I don't know about you guys, but you winning Friday hurts more than you guys winning Saturday.
Yeah, if you're going to win a game, you win Saturday.
Yeah, you're going to split.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, what's interesting to me, like, looking at, and I'd be curious to kind of go back through all the different, you know, Big Ten regular season champions over the course of the, you know, the last five or six seasons, you know, top two teams. But I have a theory that, like, this part of the year in particular, February, late January, is particularly hard to sweep teams because everyone's been playing for, you know, you're the back half of the season. People generally are on their game. Like, Wisconsin, a lot of their success came in they had that excellent start. That's where they earned a lot of their sweeps. You know, they were swept at Michigan State. But, you know, they had that excellent first half of the season, and they can afford to kind of, like, you know, they took some lumps at Michigan. They split with Minnesota. I mean, less than a split, really, right? Like, I don't know how they're going to do down the stretch here. It'll be interesting to see if they just go 500, a little over 500, but they're not going to be firing on all cylinders like they were at the first half of the year. But because they had that first half of the year, they're going to be okay. You know, I just think it's generally, it's hard to sweep series in college hockey, but it's particularly hard in February, and for, like, Notre Dame the last few seasons, like, that's what they've been asked to do, is play their best hockey when other teams are also playing their best hockey. You're not doing yourself any favors.
Yeah, that's an outstanding point. And I mean, I don't think I'm wrong here. I mean, I haven't done all the research, but just from the top of my head, I don't think there has been a single sweep in the new year in that top five part of the Big Ten since Wisconsin outside, Notre Dame here.
Right, yeah.
And that was a standalone series. So once you get back into really the thick of Big Ten play, I mean, when you're looking at that top five group of teams that has a shot at it, really, in the Big Ten outside Penn State and Ohio State, it's split, 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 split.
And Wisconsin would tell you that they probably didn't play the way they wanted to play on Saturday night when they lit up five goals.
That was a competitive series.
Yeah,
that was an airtight series. I mean, Friday's game, if Kyle McClellan doesn't make a couple of massive saves in the third, that's a Notre Dame win.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be interested to see how that goes going into this weekend. But you're exactly right that whatever pulling away was done in the first half with MSU and Wisconsin just absolutely leaving Minnesota and Michigan in the dust, and Notre Dame just kind of sitting in the middle of it. It's all tightening up.
It's bunching up.
Yep.
Yeah. As it does.
Well, now we've reached a natural transition point. JJ Post texted Tyler and I. He has an unironic hockey question he wants to ask.
Yeah, I'd like for the actual experts. So I feel like heading into the year, I heard a lot. Like, I feel like my perception of the roster for this year was always kind of interesting, because I remember, you know, kind of hearing about, you know, you're going to see a lot of younger players get involved, you know, a chance to kind of not transition the roster per se, but, you know, maybe get some younger influences on the roster. And then next year, you have maybe those players a little more growth, a little more experience, but you also, I think, lose Ryan Bischel in net.
And Landon Slager. I guess Landon could maybe come back.
What's the outlook for next year on, you know, kind of balancing the two, where you're going to have a lot of the guys that maybe entered this year without a ton of experience, they're going to have that experience now, but you're also losing, you know, I'm no hockey expert, but I would understand to be a pretty crucial point in Bischel and Nett that's, I think, at least from my amateur opinion, has saved the team, for, you know, rescued a couple wins at some point.
They got to get a goalie in the portal, right?
That's my thought.
I think that's obvious.
I mean, nobody has the same
Hartman of goaltenders.
Yeah, nobody has any experience out. I mean, Jack Williams has played, what, part of one game this year?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it isn't that uncommon if you look back at Notre Dame's recent history for the starter's role to just hand over totally.
No, it's
like,
not.
Like, Bischel's a bit of an outlier in that he actually had a season where he was a 1B before becoming a starter.
Yeah.
Going back to, like, Cale Morris, Dylan St. Cyr, Cal Peterson, a lot of those guys would play every single game, and then they would graduate or turn pro, and the next guy would step in.
Yeah.
So it's not totally unprecedented for Notre Dame to do that. Mm-hmm. I personally don't know about, like, the profile of Williams and Josh Grozano.
I don't think
I to like if they're even if they're considered to be able to make that jump.
Well, Graziano, even, I don't think yeah, is. You even know, into
he hasn't played. Period.
Yeah.
But
even into yeah in, at that point, even if you're talking about someone jumping into like even if, say Williams is ready to be like a 1B like Bischel was 2 years ago when Macalida was the starter when they got him from the portal.
Right.
From Cornell. I would be pretty surprised if they don't go portal.
Well, he's,
unless they get like
yeah, I would
the
too.
Best goaltender in the country. I only know who the candidates would be.
I think you're right with the
and that's
the,
probably already been
the fact that like
anyway.
It's usually kind of a succession. But I mean, Jeff Jackson's a. I mean, if I have my facts right, I think he's a goalie guy. Like,
he
I
is.
Think that's
yep.
that's what he specializes in. But I think it's a very fair question, JJ. I think there's a lot like there's a lot to be excited about with the core freshmen that they've had this year coming back next year. But I mean, that's a absolutely major question, and you know Williams is a big question mark. I would agree that it's probably going to be answered by the portal, but that's yeah. probably not. I mean, this is, the portal's always a gamble, right?
Yep.
So
well, it, now it's time to have an even more important discussion. Puktoku, baby. if there is anyone on here from ND Admissions who doesn't know what this is because they just decided to randomly tune in, it's one of those sports grid games where basically you get three categories.
Still five listeners.
Yep, I'm aware. Dang it. I thought it went to six briefly, but it's
tell your friends.
Or anyone. Tell your dog, man.
Tell your other devices.
Exactly.
That you own.
Even better. I like that, Murph. but yeah, the three categories on each end. Where they intersect, there's the space, and you have to try and fill them all in with nine total guesses. On the horizontal row today, we have Detroit Red Wings, Ottawa Senators, and then it says 10-plus wins postseason career. I'm not sure if that's goaltenders only or if it's skaters.
It's got to be goaltenders.
It's got to be goalies.
But see, when I click on the box, it doesn't, like, clarify.
It's got to be goalies.
I yeah. think you're right.
I mean, you could do it with goalies. And
yeah.
honestly,
and then we all, yeah, on the
more
yeah, on the vertical row, it's Ducks, Rangers, and Devils. No Chicago for once.
I'm going to go with the
man.
Obvious one.
For which one?
For oh. Anaheim.
Anaheim, Detroit, or Anaheim, Ottawa?
Anaheim, 10-plus wins postseason career. Just because I love his name. I went with Giguere. Don't do it. He's got 48%,
yeah.
but I don't care about the percent. So
I'm trying to think how many games did they win. They would not have gotten to 10. They would have gotten 7 in 2014 alone. I tried to... Yeah, because I don't know about
I
like
got
a
12% from Anaheim.
Oh, I got a good one.
Did you go Jonas Hiller?
I did. He's only 12.
Okay, I'm thinking yeah. about Hiller.
I got a really good one for Rangers. 10-plus wins.
Oh,
I was
gosh.
A goalie. I was a goalie guy. I went through a goalie phase.
Hold on. So that's right. Oh, I think I've got a good. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I've got a good one for Rangers. 10-plus wins. Yeah, he's gonna count. Yep, 2%. I'll take that.
I got one.
Oh wow.
Who'd you put? Gump Worsley.
What?
The
Gumper. World? I've heard of that wow. name before. That's crazy.
Gumper.
I went with
legend.
The man who was once called Camuel Talbot on a satirical Flyers April Fool's Day purse, Cam Talbot.
Okay.
None of his wins came with the Rangers, I believe, but he did
okay.
start his career there.
Okay.
You just have to yeah. play one game with the team. Don't have to get any of the stats with them. Also,
that's
I see
right.
Jimmy Collins, another
change.
Student media member lurking in the background. Mm. Listen to the Golden Ticket podcast. I haven't yet, but I do follow it, so I'm getting there. Well, one of these days. I'm going to go Rangers sends here. I'm going to go Nick Holden. 0.5%. Let's go. Devils 10-plus wins. I don't think Bernie would have gotten there. Corey Crawford never played, so he doesn't count. Neither did Lundqvist.
Jimmy Collins with a haircut?
Ooh, maybe. Yeah.
Oh,
looking good,
sharp.
JC.
That is correct. I did get a haircut.
Let's go. Okay, I'm trying to think. This is actually kind of a hard one, low-key.
I like the assortment
of
teams, though.
I'm trying to remember if Derek Grant was a Senator. Flyers 2020 trade line pickup legend.
Only you would know that, Andrew,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
Because I don't think Nate Thompson
Guys,
was.
Guys, what if New Jersey Devils 10-plus wins postseason career, Martin Brodeur? Just
wow.
crazy idea.
Whoa.
I think he might have won 10 games.
I'll take one for the team. I want to see
how high.
I'm going to
guess 74%.
72.
Oh, wow.
That's a good
close.
Guess.
Yeah.
See, I might have to put him, though, because I'm trying to think through Devils goaltenders. Schneider, I don't think, got there, even if you count his Vancouver tenure, because he was mostly the backup to Luongo. He only started a handful of games. And after 2011, that team totally fell apart.
I also took one for the team with putting Mika Zibanejad in the middle, 21%.
Yeah, I mean, you should have gone Brassard. He was the other part of that.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm debating if I take one for the team with Red Wings, Rangers, and go Mark Stahl.
I'll do it for you.
Flyers legend.
6%.
Wow, that low, eh? That's, I would have thought way higher.
Patty Kane was 24 there.
We said 2% or less, dang it. Where was that for Nick Holden?
Or my boy Gump Worsley.
Yeah.
The Gumper.
You better give Gump his
name. His actual first name is Lorne Worsley.
You better
give
Lorne a horn.
Good rhyme, Andrew.
Thank you. Anaheim, I'm going to go with Freddie Anderson here. I don't think this is going to score well for 10-plus wins. 6%, I'll take that. Mostly the Toronto. He might have gotten there with Anaheim himself. I'm trying to debate about Bernier. I don't think he would have gotten there. I think he only got one with Colorado. He would have gotten, I think, two with Anaheim in 2017. Maybe only one, actually, because he took over in the middle of the Western Conference Final when Gibson went down.
Guys, we got a shout out on the JJ Post Twitter.
I saw that.
Wow.
I liked it. I retweeted it.
I just did too. Thanks, JJ.
This is like low-key kind of a hard one. Like Devils, Red Wings, Brendan Shanahan. I mean, that's going to be a bad score. But I might have to bite the bullet there.
You know, I gotta tell the audience, it's really hard to stump Andrew McGinnis at Puck-Doku.
I know.
It's very hard.
I really love the JJ picture
of
Giants searching up an Eastern Michigan logo.
I think it perfectly encapsulates.
Tomas to target, 14%.
What goes on here?
Boo.
Hey, we're here. We're listening to the show. We have stuff we also have to do, so might as well do it.
No, I just think it perfectly encapsulates the mission of student media.
Trivia question that Giants couldn't answer. What is the mascot of Eastern Michigan?
Yeah, this one befuddled me because there was a change.
How recently did they change?
I want to say mid-2010s. The Eagles is the correct answer.
Yeah,
bing, bing, bing.
Correct answer.
I want to say mid-2010s for the change.
So what?
I know my directionals.
What was the previous one?
They were the Indians previously.
I had never heard of the Indians.
Yeah,
it was Eagles all the way. Eagles, Chips, and Broncos.
Oh, I almost forgot this one for Red Wings Ducks. Let's see how it does. I think it'll do well. 3%.
All I can think about is all the awesome playoff series the Red Wings and Ducks have had when I look at that logo back in the good old like Wings Western Conference days.
Mm-hmm. I went Patrick Eaves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that name in a minute.
Yeah, I know. 3%.
Great beard in the picture from Patrick Eaves.
Yeah, he's got a great beard for sure. I'm gonna go with Mark Stahl, partially because I heard you say the score, Tyler, and I thought it was gonna be way higher. So I'm comfortable. I can live with 6%. Ducks, Senators. I'm trying to think. I know Nate. I think Nate Thompson. I don't know about Nate Thompson. Great, great show quality here. I know, right, folks.
Well, we do have a slew of NHL topics that are brewing in the wings now.
I'm aware, but I'm finished.
And apparently Tyler's Super Bowl prediction, which I just looked down and I'm now looking forward to.
I feel like we have to, since you're a Chiefs fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you either do that or your thoughts on the Taylor Swift album, one of the two.
Both.
I'm sure Chiefs fans care equally about both.
Look at JJ. I'm with you, JJ.
JJ, I think, has a preference.
I'm with you, JJ.
Yeah. I'm trying to think here. Senators, Devils, weird. Devils are just a team that stumps me, I feel like, in general for these, because they haven't had a ton of turnover, I feel, with their core pieces. I almost said Adam Henrique for some reason. I don't know why. He was definitely never a Senator.
Yeah, Ducks are in the area. That's probably.
I'm trying to think of, like, their 2012 team, but I just don't know that much about most of the guys.
Beats me.
Yeah, and, like, the goalie one, I'm stumped for the Devils, because Schneider's out. I'm almost positive Bernier didn't get there. None of the newer guys would have been there for sure. They only won five games in the playoffs last year. And they split the goalie. Well, I guess Schmidt got all the wins last year. Vanacek only has one from his. I don't even know if he got credit for that win because Craig Anderson came in mid-game because he got hurt in like the first period. So I don't think Vanacek has any. I don't know. Like Jonas Gustafsson, I think, was like one of Brodeur's backups or Schneider's backups. Keith Kincaid never got there for sure. Schneider only got one playoff win with New Jersey, and I talked about his Vancouver exploits. He just didn't start enough for them. Luongo had too big of a share of their crease. Even when I try to think like old school guys, like I'm drawing blank. Because I mean, that's the thing. Brodeur was already there by the time the 90s. It's not like he came in midway through the 90s, 2000s team. He was there the whole time.
Interjecting for a moment with a Beanpot update. Happy Beanpot, everybody. Harvard won, Northeastern won in the second period.
Boot, boot.
Harvard.
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 The bean pot.
I remember that was a big thing for the 2018-19 Flyers because Scott Gordon was our interim head coach, and that video came out of him doing the dance or whatever. Yeah, we may have to finish the puck joke. There's only 22 minutes left, and I want to make sure we get to the NHL stuff. If I randomly think of a player name at some point during this show, I will blurt it out.
Okay.
But first, before we get into all the big, well, the regular storylines, this is certainly a big story. We did indeed get a press conference from the London Police Services today. We've obviously had some new information over the last week or so about the Hockey Canada situation. All five of the players that Hockey Canada asked to turn, or not Hockey Canada, sorry, that the London Police Services asked them to turn themselves in on relations to the sexual assault charges from the 2018 Hockey Canada Gala. Have done so. We already went over their names last week, but if you forget or you weren't here or just aren't familiar with the story, it is Carter Hart, it is Cal Foote, it is Michael McLeod, it is Alex Formanton, and it is Dylan Dubé. So all five of them have officially been charged. All have been charged with one count of sexual assault, except for Michael McLeod, who was charged with two. Just looking back at some of the reports here. So all the players turned themselves in and were released. Obviously, like we've talked about, it might be a long time before this trial occurs. Certainly, there is a backlog of sexual assault cases in London. It might not be until 2025, maybe even 2026. But yeah, I'm just reading off a couple of tweets here from Charlie O'Connor of PHLY Sports. It's just someone I know for a fact was tweeting about the conference because I saw some of his tweets pop up today. He covers the Philadelphia Flyers, said that the London Police Services expressed, quote, sincerest apology to the victim for the amount of time, end quote, it took to bring charges. They noted that some new evidence was gathered after the reopening of the investigation in 2022 that they didn't have when they initially investigated back in 2018, but they contend that it was just one investigation, even if it was characterized as two separate ones. And then this, in quote, obviously very important, of course, per the victim's representation, quote, we simply ask that the media and others respect her privacy and her dignity, end quote, as the case continues. And then also a brief hockey update on just the situation as well, too. Certainly not nearly as important as the other parts of it, but the Philadelphia Flyers, New Jersey Devils, and Calgary Flames have been informed they will receive cap relief for the players on leave charge in the 2018 World Junior criminal proceedings.
That's interesting.
I don't know how relevant that's going to be anyway, because all those players were on expiring contracts.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of those teams are going to be buying the deadline. No. Calgary already sold. We'll talk about them. The Flyers definitely aren't buying. New Jersey, maybe. But they're in a weird spot as well, too. But yeah, that's, I think most of the new information that we have is the counts, the fact that the players turned themselves in, the formalization of the charges since last week. And then obviously the press conference today. I haven't had a chance to read a ton about it. I'll do that later tonight, tomorrow, as stuff comes out and stuff gets written. If there's anything super pressing or new, noteworthy that I or any of us find, we'll be sure to talk about it next week. But that's just where things stand on that front. Obviously important to talk about that, certainly, because it is definitely the most important story in the hockey world right now. Moving on to some of the other things, and I know obviously not easy to make that transition, as I said last week. I know
hard right.
Yeah, hard right. That Adam Wild of SDPN always likes to say, and I think that's a good way of going about it. We had two big trades in the hockey world, both involving Canadian teams being big buyers over the last week or so. The first,
both Canadian deals.
Yeah, that's right, actually.
And that would be, like, this How about that? Totally surmising. I wonder if that's easier for teams and players in the fine print, you know, in all the legal stuff.
Well, I was
just
gonna bring up the point
that would make sense.
Yeah, like usually a lot of players will have Canadian teams on their no trade list, or that sort of thing. I don't know if either of those players had trade protection, or not. I know Andre Kuzmenko did, who actually went back to Calgary, and maybe that's part of the reason why. Maybe if he was on an American team, he wouldn't have wanted to make that transition north of the border, but. Obviously already over there, playing formerly for Vancouver, now with the Flames. But the first trade, Elias Lindholm, goes to the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for Andre Kuzmenko, Yoni Yermo, Hunter Brustowicz. I'm so sorry.
Brustowicz? I don't know.
Maybe. You put two Zs in a last name, man. It's tough. I'm sorry, Hunter.
Hockey names.
Yes.
What if we had Andrew McGinnis?
The Canucks, of course, most importantly, getting back Vancouver's first-round pick this year. It's not protected, so I guess if the Canucks lose out, then maybe they can get Celebrini. It's not happening. And then a 2024 conditional fourth-round pick. It becomes the third if Vancouver reaches the Western Conference Final. If it stays as a fourth, then Calgary gets the better of the two picks the Canucks have between the Devils and their own pick. Looking like it would be the Devils' pick right now, but we'll see. And then the other trade, of course, Sean Monahan going to the Winnipeg Jets.
We miss you, Sean.
Yes. You are happy, though, of course, to have that first-round pick.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
First-round pick, also conditional third, that only goes to the Canadiens if the Jets win the Stanley Cup this year. I talked about this with Murph. I think if you're a Canadiens fan, you should be rooting for Winnipeg to not win the Stanley Cup.
No.
If they get to the third round at that point, it becomes more moot. But I'd rather have, say, pick 24 than picks 32 and 96, which is what it would be if they won the Stanley Cup. But, guys, your thoughts on either of these two trades?
You want to start with the Canadians?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start. I mean,
yeah,
I obviously
have some
thoughts. I mean, I think the Canadians fans generally have been, and maybe this is, again, seeing through rose-colored glasses, but, like, you know, generally been a bit spoiled by the way Kent Hughes has gone about his business since taking the job. I don't think they've had a trade where it's been blatantly like, this is terrible, or I'm going to have to give this a chance, you know, where they've generally felt pretty comfortable with the deals he's made. So I think a lot of the popular backlash was like, oh, that's it? And I think that's a pretty...
Wait, actually?
I'm being serious. It's a spoiled fan base. It just is.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But, I think it's a good deal, right? Like,
it is a great deal.
I think Canadians fans are... And I didn't read as much on Twitter as I usually do, but, like, generally like to be like, you know, absolutely won this deal, and there wasn't that kind of a reaction, because I think, listen, I understand where it's coming from as a fan, because, like, we've been bad for 2 years now, and, like, you're getting another first round.
Oh, no.
I know, I'm just, I mean.
I know, I'm not attacking you personally.
I know, believe me. Fans, period, are spoiled. But it just, like, to, the signal it sends when you're getting another first round pick back is that we're still waiting, you know? Rather than you're getting a player back.
You're still waiting, Canadians fans.
And you're like, okay, we're in business. And I think Canadians fans probably want to be in business. It's a great return, though. They essentially traded him.
They got two first-round picks, essentially.
And got a prospect and two first-round picks.
And a prospect.
For nothing. Like,
for a guy who's going to be 30 at the start of next season and is having his numbers inflated by getting a ton of minutes on a bad team.
Yeah. It's a good deal. So
yes,
I don't
fantastic.
Think there's any... I will
and
miss Sean
like
Monahan.
Not good underlying numbers at that.
Yeah, I always... I mean, I thought he was outstanding last year before he got hurt. At the beginning of this year, he was good. He's not had as good in the second half of this year. Like, I will agree with that. But I think he's a fantastic piece as a third-line center on a contending team, which is what he'll go to Winnipeg and do. He'll really help their power play in the bumper position. You know, I see it as a win for both sides.
Yeah, and Winnipeg, they're just looking at their recent trend right now. They got to get right a little bit offensively, and this trade comes at an opportune time for them with, you know, a week and a half off. You're coming off this stretch of losing 4 out of 6, and you've scored more than 2 goals in just one of those games, one of the last 7 games, in fact, before the trade. So there's some fixing to do a little bit in the short term offensively. Obviously, you said Monahan's going to have those long-term benefits, especially when you get into the later parts of the season as you try and compete for that central division with the experience he has. But, yeah, I mean, the only question I could think of if you're wondering about one-sidedness a little bit and the Habs getting the great deal, you know, maybe it's a little bit of an overreaction to the way things have gone over the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I'd agree. I think it benefits both sides.
I don't think they overpaid.
Yeah.
I think particularly because a lot of people look at the deal as a first and third, and like you said, Andrew, it's not necessarily a first and a third. In most worlds, it's not a first and a third. You know what I mean?
And it's also not a player who I really think would make sense to re-sign either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would also like to inform you that I decided to play it safe with Senators Ducks 15% Jakob Silverberg. I didn't think he would be that high. I thought a lot of people would forget that he was with Ottawa at the start of his career, but apparently not. Anything on the?
I didn't know that.
He was started there. That was a big trade, I think, that sent him. I'm gonna look that up very quickly, as I ask you guys about the Elias Lindholm trade and your thoughts on that. And Vancouver loading up.
Yeah, that's what the message was to me, was that Vancouver wants to be taken seriously. You know,
they should be,
and they should be. You're absolutely right, right? But I'm a big fan of Lindholm. I think he's a player that can be really good in the playoffs. Like he's reliable, durable center, and I'd see that as a good deal for the Canucks. I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, Tyler. I feel like they had kind of given up on Kuzmenko a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
So they're not parting with too much.
It was a fan of Kuzmenko.
Yeah,
that's seen as like almost a salary. It's just a not maybe necessarily a pure salary dump, but someone who was afraid to make the cap work. Also, by the way, it was Silverberg to Anaheim along with Stefan Nason and the 10th overall pick in 2014, which became Nick Ritchie for Bobby Ryan.
Oh. Bobby Ryan,
which was
Bobby
a huge trade at the time.
What a name, Bobby Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan was still
Bobby Ryan. Didn't he play in Anaheim, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Anaheim Senator, right?
He's got a score higher than Silverberg.
Yeah, it's a high score. I checked it.
Oh, you did check it?
It's got to be higher than Silverberg.
I think it's 26-ish?
I forgot about his existence.
He would actually also work for Ducks Red Wings. He was a Red Wing right at the end of his career.
Right.
That one would score probably decently, probably like 6% or so.
Yeah.
Bobby.
Cherry Hill, New Jersey native.
Okay.
Yeah. If you've never, you guys know the story of Bobby Ryan's backstory?
No.
Oh my gosh. Do you know Tyler? You don't know?
I just didn't like him when he was on the Senators.
So his last name is not actually Ryan. That was a name that was made up by his father when he was on the run from the FBI.
No way.
Yep.
That's crazy.
It was a massive story. I think someone on Sportsnet wrote a big article about it in like 2015 or so.
Jaren's got to say something.
Yeah, The Secret Life of Bobby Ryan.
What? Yeah, I remember that article coming out. I just didn't read it.
What was he on the run for precisely?
I believe I'm pulling it up now. So.
Intermission segment on Hockey Night on it. It's on YouTube too.
Yeah,
this is why we have legal analysts, folks.
Yeah, it's something that is obviously, it's not only is it serious, but it's sensitive, so I want to make sure the details right before I say it.
Yep, I'm seeing it
and
now.
My computer is not loading it really for some reason. I'll try my phone here. I know it's like a big special article. I do like
that. Remember that title, though. I remember it's probably still sitting in my watch later on YouTube, which is over 1,000 videos, something like that.
Yeah, hold on. I'm scrolling through it here.
I didn't realize he was from New Jersey, though.
His real last name is Stevenson. So his dad, Bob, his wife, Melody, Bobby's mom, and their son, Bobby. I want to read it directly from the article here because, on October 29th, it doesn't say what year, but it was when Bobby was a kid. Let me find here. His dad had rigged a tape recorder to the home phone. When he checked it that night, he found out that his mom his wife had made a call. He accused her of trying to buy drugs. She denied it. Bob didn't believe her. He blew up. He punched his wife, choked her.
Oh boy.
When she managed to get a door between them, he ripped it off its hinges. Neighbors called the cops. Bob was arrested. Melody was rushed off in an ambulance. She had a fractured skull and internal bleeding. 4 days in the hospital. Bob Stevenson was charged with attempted murder, aggravated assault, and criminal restraint. Skipped bail. They moved from Cherry Hill to El Segundo, California. I'm sorry for mispronouncing that. And so they took on an alias he took on the name of Shane Ryan. Ryan was his wife's maiden name, so I guess that's the reason for it. He eventually got caught, of course, went to jail. But eventually they asked Bobby what he wanted to his last name to be. Do you want to go by Bobby Stevenson or Bobby Ryan? And he chose Bobby Ryan. It's a crazy story. I'm going to see if the author's name comes up. I think I've never worth his credit. Gare Joyce, back in 2013, so
that
a decade
ago.
Yeah. Because Bobby Ryan, obviously the guy drafted after Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Famously. Was he part of the Ducks team that won the Cup in 07? I don't think he was. I think he might have still been a junior. Yeah, he was still in junior. Yeah, he was a junior in the AHL that year. Just missed, sadly. Another big storyline involving changes being made. The Los Angeles Kings, who got off to such a good start this season, I really felt like a team on the rise the last few years and then just went into a total tailspin, big losing streak. They made a decision to fire their head coach, Todd McClellan, who had been with the team for about 4 or 5 years or so. Obviously, the Kings making the playoffs the last 2 years, losing in the first round to Edmonton both times. So far this season, like I said, they got off to a really good start, and they're kind of right on the playoff bubble right now. The Pacific is a pretty top-heavy, I'd say, although the Kraken have come along nicely, too. They are currently actually in a wild card spot. Yeah, they're the first wild card team right now, 2 points ahead of Nashville with 3 games in hand. So they're in a solid spot still, but I think they were hoping to take a big step forward. I think part of this is the relationship with Pierre-Luc Dubois playing on the fourth line. McClellan made some pretty pointed comments about his play lately, and you know the old saying that it's easier to fire the coach than it is to, yeah, to trade the all the players, but especially a player on the fourth line making $8 million. And so the Kings making that decision to cut ties.
Yeah, the Pierre-Luc Dubois thing is interesting because he's now on his third team, right? And it hasn't gone stellarly really anywhere.
No.
It just hasn't. And then there was, you know, he was playing
it
well.
It was in Columbus for a little bit.
And it was in Winnipeg for a little bit, too. You know,
well,
he had
even less so, I'd say, in Winnipeg because he had 2 or 3 good years in Columbus under, yep, Torts. And then after the bubble was when,
yeah,
he started to turn heel a little bit, to use a wrestling term.
I would like to, I'd be curious, when was the last time a playoff team fired their coach in February? You know?
It seems like we've seen a lot of
proactive
firings.
What about
yeah,
the 2017 Canadiens?
I was going to say, I remember the Canadiens did it. They fired Therrien and hired Julian, right?
Yeah. Correct.
But I it's...
Yeah, nothing I can think of off the top of my head,
I don't feel like
really.
It's frequent? I don't know.
No, I certainly don't think it is.
It seems
sure.
like a... That seems like a... and maybe there's a story for the story there, but it seems like a coach bump seeking, like, firing. Like,
yeah, and I wonder if it's something... I know I was listening to the SDP, and they said that they thought... I think Adam at least said that they got the wrong guy. That should have been Rob Blake instead.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother, like, when exactly. you fire the... That's extremely rare, firing a GM in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, I frankly, I often think that the GM is the guy that should be fired and the coach shouldn't be, but who's going to make the more immediate impact? It's going to be firing the
yeah.
coach,
well,
right?
I mean, yeah, and it's Blake who made that trade.
What? I mean, it's true, right?
Yeah, it's Blake who made
just
that
doing
trade.
His expressions back there.
I think that's a I think this is one of the... You just hit a... And this applies
Well,
for,
they never
should have
made that trade
sports.
To begin with for Dubois. They already had 3 good centers. They didn't need to.
Yeah.
And Quentin Byfield, someone who's taken a step forward this year. And
I never liked the idea of trading Gabe Vilardi.
I feel like McClellan isn't being... given credit for developing him and some of the other young players.
How much do you think...
Like Trevor Moore, someone who's came out of nowhere to be 35 points so far this year.
How much do you think the fact that, like... That's a bad point.
And they traded big assets for a center when their one need was goaltending. And they traded on a team who was considering giving up their starting goaltender at that point. The Jets did not have Connor Hellebuck extended at that point. Now I'm going to take in a different package to get him. Jets might not have been willing to even make a move at that point. But, I mean, you trade for a guy like Dubois who's had some problems before, and, you know, that's the kind of trade you stake your reputation on as a GM. And, I mean, we've seen how it's turned out so far.
Yeah, that's a good point you make, Ryan. It just feels like when you come off a couple good years like that and, you know, fall back a little bit this year and you bring in some of those moves, I mean, you just have to ask yourself, you know, Can what was put together sustain itself? Does it take moves to fix? Because I think then if it really does take a lot of moves and a lot of pieces moving around to keep together, then I think you give the coach a little bit more of a freebie there. But I mean, when those moves don't work out and it spins out of control that quickly, and when it seems to be such a proactive year for NHL organizations getting rid of head coaches. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it with Jay Woodcroft in October, November, mm-hmm. how quickly he was out the door. Yeah. I mean,
and I will say they've missed Victor Arvidsson, who's been a big piece of them the last couple of years, had 7 points in 6 games so far this year, hasn't played. That was in the playoffs last year. He hasn't played at all this season. I beg your pardon there. But yeah, well, you can talk more about the Kings next week. I'm going to do rapid fire really quickly. All-Star Weekend. 1 minute you guys have. Go.
1 minute on All-Star Weekend, yeah. I could take 15 seconds.
You have one,
irrelevant.
Yeah. Even better.
Sorry, NHL.
Read his, read the column.
Nah, my column was not that good. You don't have to read it.
Read the column.
No, read like any other article I've written ever. Please.
Well, if it was not that good, certainly matches the product on the ice.
Oh. Yeah, not yeah. The Kucherov thing was the most interesting thing to come out of the NHL All-Star Weekend.
That's a problem.
Right?
Yeah.
And if that's the most interesting thing to come out of your All-Star Weekend, your fans, like, it's an event, but it's not getting the diehards interested,
yeah.
And I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and then the last minute of the show, we do have someone with stake in the game this weekend. Tyler Reedy, back in the Super Bowl for a second straight year. Can't break my heart this time, at least. So I will take that. How are you feeling, T Reed? I want a quick update. What's the pulse of Chiefs Nation?
I mean, we feel great. We're very, very happy to be underdogs again. I don't know
what?
I don't know what
they're underdogs again?
I don't know what kind of football Vegas has been watching.
Were you guys underdogs last year? I'm actually kind of surprised by that.
Because I know the
narrative around the Eagles was that they hadn't beaten anyone in the playoffs.
Philly was the favorite. Well, I mean, they had blown out their previous two.
Well, yeah, but the Giants
opponents
weren't supposed to be that good, and then the 49ers ran out of quarterbacks.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know, honestly, where San Francisco minus two came from. San Francisco hasn't been an underdog in a single game this year. I was shocked to read that.
That's weird.
Not even going to Philly or any of their in-division games, although the West wasn't terribly strong this year, but yeah, I'm excited. I feel confident. And we have the NFL on CBS, which is what you always want
to
hear.
Well, where's the NFL on Nick theme song?
Sorry, guys.
Dora the Explorer, rules analyst. I'm not even kidding.
No.
We've reached 7 o'clock. As always, this time is way too fast.
What's your pick? You got a pick?
Oh, yeah, pick. Go.
Well, I should probably give you a score because my pick is obviously the Chiefs. I will give you
89-19. No, well, yeah, but they're the home team, so it's going to read 1989.
27. 17.
27-17? Okay, you heard it here first, folks.
You did.
We'll find out.
Chiefs 27, Niners 17.
As always, this hour goes by way too quickly. Maybe next week, Jake will make us an outro song or just like revert. Play
hold on. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Give me 2 seconds. I'll cook.
You gotta cook fast, man. It's gotta be fast food.
I'm good. All right, here we go.
Thank you and good night.
There you go. All you, it's music. You can just voice it.
Oh, that's even better. Sweet. As always, this hour goes by way too quick. We definitely should have booked up 2 straight hours and just riffed. That should have been the strategy this semester. You guys can learn from that next year. I'll be long gone by then. I'm going to be washed up in a month anyway when Ed Board turns over at The Observer. But thank you so much for listening. Always a blast. We'll be back next week talking more hockey stuff. Notre Dame is on the road this weekend. Is this Wisconsin this weekend?
It is Wisconsin
this weekend. NHL trade deadline continues to get closer and closer. I'm sure we'll have some more information and stuff to talk about in the hockey world as well. I didn't get the Oilers going for the all-time record this week for longest win streak.
Biggest game
right now.
In
they
Vegas
need
tonight,
one
potentially.
To one to tie. I think they play someone not that good. I think it's like Anaheim.
I didn't realize they were
Friday.
Still winning.
But yeah, we're already going way past on time anyway. For Tyler Reedy and Jacob Irons and Ryan Murphy and JJ Post and even Jimmy Collins and even you, Andy, and Mission. Even though you didn't get as many viewers. I'm Andrew McGinnis. Good night. Go Irish.